You know, I'll never forget years ago being in a radio station in the southern part of Chile. And some of you may have heard this testimony before, but I'm telling it again. And I was at this radio station, and they said they wanted me to go on the radio station, you know, and whatever. And so we get to this building, and it's just this run-down, like, dilapidated little old building. Paint's all peeled up on the outside of it, and there's this big radio tower behind it, but the building is just, I mean, you'd think you'd fall through the floor as you're going to walk in it. It's just so old and dilapidated, and so I immediately just judge by the outward appearance that, you know, it just wasn't much. And so I'll never forget, they took me into this room, and I was laughing because it was like, it was a joke. It was just like so far away from anything I'd ever thought of what it should look like. And they actually had this little like red light bulb, you know, screwed in, you know, so when the red light bulb came on, then you were on the air, you know. And I was behind just a window that was just like a wooden window. It was like a house that had two walls in it, and they just had a wooden window in it with little wooden panes, and the paint was peeling off of it. And I could see the guy sitting right in there on the soundboard, and we're on the other side of the wall. And he's just so hokey, you know. And it's little bitty. It's like a closet. And the guy says, we're going to go on the air, and, you know, we'll be on the air here, and, within five minutes, we'll be on the air. And so I just asked the guy, I said, well, how many people can, you know, hear this radio station? And he said, well, on the broadcast we're doing right now, 12 million. And I said, what? What? 12 million people? Yes, 12 million people will be able to listen to the broadcast. And I'm like, then I got nervous and, oh my God, what am I talking? I've just counted this whole thing as nothing. And now all of a sudden, oh my God, 12 million people could hear. And what do I say? And I just started to panic. And I was just freaking out. Thinking, oh my gosh, now, you know, why didn't I should have prepared more. I should have, you know, fasted and prayed all night long if I knew I was going to speak to 12 million people. And I just thought it was just going to be nothing. And I remember that microphone sitting there and the guy saying, okay, we're going to go on. You're going to go on in, you know, 2 minutes. I'm like, oh my God, 2 minutes, what am I going to say? And I remember I just stopped and bowed my head. I said, Jesus, my goodness, what I didn't know is what I was doing. Forgive me, Lord. And I said, 12 million people, what can I say to 12 million people? Because I knew I only had a short period of time. And it's, if I've ever heard the voice of the Lord speak to me, it just resounded like an amplifier on the inside of me. He said, just tell them that I love them. And I was like, yeah. I was trying to think of this great message I was going to say right quick. I was going to, you know, some really great speech I was going to give right quick. And it's that simple. He really just wants people to know that he really does love them. And he loves them right where they are. And he loves them so much, he just wants them to come to him. And sometimes we forget about all of that. In the craziness of life, in the busyness of life, we forget to think that the Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth and all therein, loved us so much that he gave Jesus for us. And that one day Jesus will present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Wow. Makes things pretty small. Makes things pretty simple. Makes all the fluff and all the storms on the left and the right and in front of us and behind us seem pretty small when we already have the Creator's love. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You're not deserving, but it's yours. All because of what Jesus did. Amen? So look again at somebody now and look at them and say, Jesus loves you. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Well, praise God. I could go home on that one, but I'm not going to. I want to read y'all a letter on my phone, if you'll let me. I'm always amazed at the things that God does without any of our help. Huh? Do any of you ever feel like you kind of need to help God along? Huh? You know, seeing Will here tonight, you know, I know y'all have heard this story. I'm telling it again too tonight. I feel like a storyteller tonight. But when we were in Guatemala, and I told y'all about that, you know, I'd introduced Will to Ivan and Kimberly Tate. And then we went up in the upstairs and we were sitting there visiting with them. And then all of a sudden, Kimberly says to Will, you know, you wouldn't happen to be kin to Gene and Burl Borland. And I'm thinking to myself, the thoughts going through my mind at that exact moment was like, how could he? I mean, Ivan and Kimberly live in Colorado Springs. And I don't know that Will's ever been living in Colorado Springs. And that's not known to me. And so he just looks and his jaw drops. He says, yeah, it's, you know, that's my mother and father. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? How could that? You know, and I'm just blown away. And they're like, oh, yeah. So there's a big conversation. I'm just sitting there thinking. I'm thinking the whole time, God, you're so amazing how from all walks of life that we all live, and they're up there and here and there and whatever, we all end up at that place at that time. And then he began to say that his father prayed for him and wanted him to get involved in things. And then there was like an answer. There was the answer to his father's prayer happening, manifesting right there at that moment. And I'm just blown away at how we didn't help. You with me? We didn't help. See, we always think we got to organize it all, arrange it all, get on the phone, call, talk, you know, get all this, you know, send secret messages back and forth, and, you know, and then we got to pray for this, and if we can just get that lined up and this and that. And he was just working the whole thing out. Well, this letter came this week to the Waterhole website and blew me away too. It says, I wanted to email you to share an awesome experience I had at your church last Sunday. I'm from San Antonio, but miraculously ended up at Living Waters Church, 100 miles from my home. No doubt the Lord led me there for a reason. Things have not been going well lately for my wife and me financially. That has recently put a strain on our 23 years of marriage. And last Saturday, the tension between us rose to a point that I had to get away for a while to clear my head. My plan was to retreat to a place where I could be alone with my thoughts and alone with God. You guessed it, I have become one of those people that feel that I can benefit most from getting away, sitting under a tree, from spending one-on-one time with the Lord. I grabbed some essentials, a sleeping bag, etc., and headed out to Garner State Park. The plan was to hike and meditate and pray for the day for a day or two. The weather was bad, kept me confined to my vehicle most of the night. During the night, I remembered it was Saturday, and the Lord led me to seek a church nearby for Sunday morning. I pulled up my trusty BlackBerry, and I searched churches nearby. Yours popped up. Now, I don't even know how that works. I don't even know how we're in the search engines. Huh? So, that's good. I'm glad you did that. You get a piece of this then. I was drawn to your site, and I hit the media tab to get an idea of what kind of teaching you had. I clicked on Fungus Among Us. I don't even remember preaching that. Y'all must have just named that and stuck it in there, okay? Thank gosh he didn't call me up and say, did you say that message you preached, Fungus Among Us? And a teaching from last month, I was captivated and listened to the whole teaching. Now, I got to find out what kind of a BlackBerry he's got, because if he listened to my whole deal on a BlackBerry, I can't even get mine to pull up a website. So anyway. I was captivated and listened to the whole teaching. Who is Jesus in my life, in my finances, in my relationship? I heard you talk about your own 30-year anniversary and how your relationship with God strengthened that for over 23 years as belief. Oh, excuse me. Your own of 30 years anniversary and how your relationship with God strengthened that for over 23 years as a believer while God spoke to me. So in the morning, I was resolved to visit your church. I have not attended church regularly for a few years. My wife and I have been believers since 1994, but have strayed from the fellowship of other Christians. We visit churches off and on, but we have no church home. God spoke again to your teaching about the importance of church as the entire body is the aspect of Ephesians 5. I had totally missed it before. It hit me right between the eyes. I have become a finger detached from the body, ineffective in my own way. God has led me 100 miles from your home, from my home to your fellowship to inspire me through the teaching both on the web and in person. I'm writing this note to let you know that God speaks through you and your church, and praise Jesus for his awesome power. My wife and I are praying and searching for a church here in San Antonio where we can once again function as a part of the body. We are recommitted to Jesus and his rightful place in our marriage and in our finances and our life. Thank you so much. How could you have orchestrated that? You see what I'm saying? How could you? I'm just preaching what I hear Jesus say. There's no way I could have known this guy was going to walk into church. If God would have told me there's a guy going to walk into church, I'd have messed it up. That's right. Was it the guy in the blue shirt? Had on a blue shirt. Sat right over there. Because y'all were sitting over there, Cindy. You see, it's like we always want to orchestrate it all. We want to arrange it all for God. We want to bring everything about in our lives. But the thing that we need to do most of all is just love him and keep walking in obedience and believing that he's going to order our steps and prepare our way and that everything's going to work out and just keep on going, and it will. I believe it says he orders the steps of a righteous man. Amen? Did you want to say something? You're just waving at me. Oh, okay. Just wanted me just to note that you were over there. Okay. I keep an eye on my mother. She got in trouble because she wasn't here Sunday and she didn't tell me. Isn't that awesome? Just amazing. And just, you know, what's God doing? You just don't know. Just keep walking. He'll make it happen. He'll bring it to pass. Amen? Well, get your Bibles out. Let me share a word with you. I think let's start in the book of Colossians. You know, it's just hungry hearts. God always does things for hungry hearts. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1. I want to start here. And there it is. The light. Verse 19, Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. He's talking about Jesus. And by him to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. Now, do you notice that God did not incorporate us in the reconciliation of mankind? Right? You remember the story over in Genesis where Abraham was a deep sleep fell upon him and God cut a covenant and God did all this cut a covenant and then it says that, you know, Abraham was asleep while God's making the covenant. And God could swear by no greater, so he swore by himself. Right? In other words, God couldn't find a man that would be faithful enough that wouldn't mess up and wouldn't flake out somewhere. So God said, I'll assure this, I'll wrap this covenant up, because what I'll do is I'll swear by myself. I'll swear to myself. So it's like, you know, he walks up and says, okay, God, we're making a covenant today that you're gonna bless Abraham. And then he comes around the other side of him, he looks back at himself and says, okay, God, I'm telling you today, you're gonna bless Abraham. I heard you say it. Right? That's what he did. He said he couldn't find anybody else to swear by it that was going to keep it, so he swore to himself. So he cut a covenant with himself, saying that, God, I'm going to bless mankind. So he did through Jesus. Now he says, Jesus comes and I cut a covenant, if you'll let me put it this way. I cut a covenant with Jesus that he's going to go pay the price. He's going to go to the cross. He's going to die. He's going to pay the price for the sins of mankind. And that's between him and me that the world's reconciled. So the world can quit trying to earn my love and gain my love. They're going to get my love because I cut a covenant between me and Jesus that it's all settled. I'm not mad at anybody. Right? That's what the word says. He reconciled it all to himself. He did it all between him and Jesus, and then we just are partakers of it. Because if we had to get involved in it, we're going to mess it up because we can't be trusted. Peter tells Jesus, he said, look, I'll tell you what, man, I'll die with you, Lord. And Jesus says, man, Peter, before the cock crows tonight, you're going to deny me three times. Never. I'll die before that. And then after he does it three times, he says, oh, Lord, what do I do? Peter's heart was good. He became a great and awesome, you know, man of God. The scripture's heart was good, but the flesh, this dirt we've got in him that we're made of, this flesh that we're dealing with is weak. And so Jesus said, man, I can't make a covenant with them because the weakness of the covenant will be their flesh. See, if you cut covenant with man, it's only as good as the man. Y'all with me? So that's what happens. I'm just rambling. I feel like I'm rambling tonight, but I'm just going to go with it because if that happened last Sunday, we'll just believe it happened tonight. Y'all will get a full deal meal or full meal deal or full deal meal or full meal deal. Full meal deal or full deal meal. I was painting this afternoon. I think I smelled too many fumes. Anyway, the weakness of man, that's what happens with people. They go and look at a man. So this could go into my Sunday's message. You go and the church looks at a pastor, and the pastor fails, so everybody quits going to church. Quit looking at it. Don't make your covenant with that. Make your covenant with Jesus, right? And then take the benefits of everything else that goes along with that. And that's great, man. They do great things, right? So not everybody's a dog. All right, so God said, I want to cut a covenant with you. I'm going to make this covenant so strong and so powerful. I'm going to cut it between Jesus and me. Okay? And I'm going to reconcile all of man right here. I'm going to cut it between him and I, and we're going to settle this sin issue. We're going to settle this issue of me not being able to fellowship with my people because of the sin issue. See, in the Old Testament, you could not walk into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God, unless you were either, you had to be sinless, and the only way you could be sinless was you had to go through the ritual of the proper cleansing, the proper putting on the blood, the proper everything, your all your dress had to be anointed, everything had to go through. Now, how many of y'all just leave the house sometimes and wonder if you forgot to turn off the oven or the fan or the... Anybody? And you think about it, did I do that? And then you want to go back and check, and then you leave. You know, it's like if you have to take a pill all the time, you think about, did I take the pill? You just took the pill, but then you have to think, did I take the pill? I don't know, did I take that pill? And I just was up there just a second ago taking the pill. Then I have to say, did I take it? But I don't know, where is the thing, you know? I had to actually go buy one of those seven-day deals to put a pill in. Because I cannot remember if I took the thing or not. So the only way I know if I took it is to look in the box and see if there's anything there. And then I just hope that, you know, the dog didn't eat it or something like that. So God's going to cut this covenant. He's going to reconcile it all. He's going to put it all back in order. And he's going to say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make it to where man's out of it. So it's between God and I, so all they have to do then is accept it. And if they accept this awesome thing, then everything's okay. There's no place to be mad. You can't earn. The sin issue's dealt with. When you went in the Holy of Holies, and if you walked in there and you had sin on your life, then you would die. If I was the high priest, knowing just the things about forgetting all the time, I would just be, I could never walk in there. Because I'd always be thinking, okay, did y'all really get this thing anointed? Did you do it right? Because I knew if I stepped in there, they're going to sweep me out with a dustpan. You see what I'm saying? Because you would always be in my mind, I'd be thinking, am I right? Did we do it? Did we follow all the ordinances? Is it too, you know, because, okay, you're going to die. So did the guy make the anointing oil properly? You just got it out of the jar and put it on you. And then I'd be saying, oh, wait a minute. So this is what happens to us. Oh, this is so good. I didn't even know I was going to preach this. So this is what happens to us. We go through our lives trying to arrange everything and be in control of everything, of every instance and everything in our life, because we keep thinking that the control of it all is going to make us right with God. So then we want to make sure, did we pray enough? Did we pray right? Did I pray the right prayers? Did I pray long enough? Maybe I didn't pray too short. Well, I should have prayed the word, but I should have read that devotional, but I should have read the book. Oh, I should have done this. Oh, I should have done that. I should have just prayed with my wife. Oh, gosh, I should have prayed alone. I should have prayed under the tree. I should have prayed at the church. I should have prayed over here. I should have done this. Am I right? Come on. This is what happens to us. And all we're trying to do is get to the place where we think that we're right with God, that he's going to pray for us, when the whole time God is sitting over there like this on the throne, thumping his fingers, waiting for you to say, I already did it. I did it all between me and Jesus. I just want you to accept it. Come on. I love you. And they're all like, well, I don't know, man. And I did this and I thought that. And then I just think I may have thought that. You know, it's the same way. So the priest, how would he want to step in there? Because he'd always be thinking, oh my gosh, what if the guy that made the anointing oil was drunk? Because as the scripture says something that there's dead flies in the anointing oil of the Apocrypha, which is that stuff the high priest is supposed to put on his vestment to make him righteous. So the drunk perfume maker let a fly die in there, and he didn't tell because he didn't want to have to go make another batch, and so he just flicked it out. So now that anointing oil that he got that looked right ain't no good because there'd been a dead fly in it. And you couldn't come up against any dead animal or dead person or dead anything. And so the anointing, all that he'd anointed his vessel with, thinking that he was righteous or making him righteous, then he steps inside the tent. Whoosh, and he's thinking, what'd I do? And it was this dead fly over there. And God's like, this is way too complicated. This is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to reconcile all of humanity between Jesus and I. So we're going to make sure that it's right. So if the thought ever comes to you, you know, I messed up so bad God couldn't love me, it's a lie from the pit of hell. Because his love is always abounding. It's unyielding, unfailing. It's always abounding towards you. See, we want to make God into human. And so we want to say, well, look, you know, my father was disappointed in me when I didn't accomplish this for him. And so therefore, God must be disappointed in me because I didn't accomplish it. God ain't your daddy. You know, thank God. Thank God. Y'all better praise God every night and worship God every night that I'm not God. I mean, it's the truth. I'd be, man, shooting firebolts and I'd shh. Won't even let the firebolt try a little of this. You don't want to live for me, huh? So I don't ever need to be president. Everybody'd get audited that mess with me. I think that's really happening a lot now. I'd make the Chicago-style politics look simple. We'd do it the Texas way. Anyway, the point is we try to put God into that. When the whole time he said, look, I've already reconciled it all. I reconciled everything through Jesus. So he comes in here and look at this. It's amazing I got that much out of two verses. For by me he reconciled all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Okay, the cross is what made peace. 21. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. See, the problem is if you don't ever repent of your sins and receive God's forgiveness, what happens to you is your mind always tells you you're not forgiven. It either brings up the act, it brings up the word, it brings up something you heard, it brings up when you're in trouble. Like me, I have a hard time relating that because as a child, I was perfect. I never got in any trouble. So a few times my mother, she missed the whole point and thought there was something wrong when there really wasn't. What I'm trying to say is that your mind gets to bringing up all of that garbage to trip you up so that you won't walk in what really is righteous. I've had people tell me before, well, I don't know, I've done so many bad things, God couldn't forgive me. I said, well, that's not true. No, you just don't know what I've done. I don't care what you've done. The Bible says he forgives. He says he forgives all. There ain't no like, oh, well, okay, that one is a bad one. I don't think you're going to, that's too much. Right? When he reconciled all between Jesus and himself, then he left the door wide open and said, all those who want to accept my love, it's there for them if they will accept it. There's no prerequisites. There's no ifs, ands, and buts in there. There's nothing to it. There's no hidden clauses. There's no little dotted lines at the bottom. There's no anything like that written in there. It's just, that's it. Do you want it or not? Yet our minds get involved. Lie to us. The enemy gets in there, puts thoughts in our minds that aren't really there. I've had people stop me and say, listen, I just want to ask you, you know, are you mad at me? I said, no, why? Well, I saw you the other day and, you know, you didn't wave at me. I said, I didn't see anybody. Do you know who honked at you today? See, I was a little hurt because you didn't turn right around when I honked. You just kind of went like this. And then I said, Frankie, see, he won't even turn and wave at me. He's not. The enemy started to plague my mind. There he was, just standing there, kept his back to me. Didn't really turn around and wave at me. Of course, he was closing a gate. And so I had to do that. But isn't that the way it works? Right? Isn't that the way it works? The assumption comes in then. The enemy's message is your mind. And then that alienates you from the real love of Christ and the real truth of knowing that Frankie loves me. And you see what I'm saying? It twists around. And he says it's your mind that comes in there and it says it alienates you. Right? It alienates you, separates you, gets you sat over there on the side. So then you can experience loneliness and all the things, the depravity that goes along with loneliness. I love it. I love it. Let me finish this. 22. Let me read 21 so it all makes sense. And you who were once alienated enemies in your minds by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his own flesh through death to present you holy blameless and above reproach in his sight. You know, it's funny, in Catholic tradition, in order for you to, a person to be a saint, you know, enter into sainthood, you have to perform three miracles. Has to be three miracles performed, and then you can, you know, notable miracles, and then you could be a saint. But according to that scripture, if you've been reconciled, you're holy, and I believe holy means saintly, right? So then, I mean, you get saved, and then, you know, you're Saint Tracy. But you tell John that, right? He knows that. John knows that. Saint Bill. Pat, why are you rolling your eyes? Is it the truth or is it a lie? Saint David. That's kind of got a nice ring to it. I think I'd have to be Saint Bob. Saint Robert just doesn't sound too good. Saint Bob. Old Saint Bob. Was a merry old man. To present you holy, blameless. I mean, that's like the attorneys are after you, trying to prosecute you, and they can find nothing on you. You're blameless. But that's the way the blood works. You repent, you're forgiven, it's gone in heaven, and there's nothing that can be called up in court on you because you're blameless. And above reproach in his sight. In other words, oh, they would never have done that. And all of y'all be saying, I did. Jesus says, no. Amen? So you're holy, blameless, and above reproach because of what Jesus did between him and his Father, and all you did was accepted. Wow. Wow. Amazing. Amen? So look at the person beside you and say, hey, saint.